Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Once again, it's a Tuesday morning, and with me, I've got Claire, the garden editor, talking to us all the things about gardening. Are you all right, Claire?
Hello, good morning, Dave. Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right. We haven't spoke to you for a couple of weeks, have we? I've been on holiday, you've been away, and I've had a bad throat and bits and pieces, but you know, we're back now, aren't we? We're back.
We are back. We are back in the groove. We are on it. Yeah, I really missed chatting to you the other week when you were poorly. I hope you're feeling better now.
I am feeling fine. I've still got a bit of a rough throat, but I'm fine. I'm actually fine. Yeah, good. Bit warm, isn't it? It's been a bit warm.
It has, isn't it? It's been a bit warm and it's been a bit dry.
Yeah.
I've got what's cracking gardener's tan, which means very brown forearms.
Oh, right.
Painfully white everywhere else, pretty much. But it's been really hot and really dry. And then, of course, we had that massive thunderstorm, didn't we?
We did on Sunday, didn't we? Yeah, yeah. What was you doing when that? Was you working that when that happened, or was you out and about doing stuff? Or
do you know what? I just put the fourth load of washing out.
All right, yeah.
My son's just come home from a scout camp, so the first thing to do is to get all the kit clean. So I was there, trying to make
load after load. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All that stuff, yeah. How about you? Were you caught out in it?
Well, no, I was doing some bits indoors and I thought, oh, I'm sure that's a rumble, and it wasn't my stomach, so I thought I'd better go out and have a look, and there it was. It started to thunder and it was good. Right, today, what are we talking about today? We're talking about garden stuff, but what are we talking about? Anything specific?
Well, we're going to talk about rain and water and heat. So basically, notwithstanding we've had some water, we've had that big downpour, we're coming into the summer. So I thought what we'll do is a big kind of download on how to make the best use of water in your garden.
Perfect.
Particularly as we come into the summer months.
Yeah.
So thing one, this year is an El Nino weather year.
All right.
Which is the way in which certain winds and certain geographic things happen around the planet.
Yeah.
Effectively, if we're in an El Nino year, it tends to be hotter and drier in the UK, though with sudden downpours of water. So I don't know about you, but the last couple of days have felt very much like that.
Yeah, it's been really warm. Happening. It's been nice, hasn't it?
It has been nice.
Is this our summer?
Nice. Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because we had that really late spring. We had a really dry February, really wet March. April just went on forever.
Yeah.
But now we are rampaging into summer.
Right.
And so what we need to think about is how to best make use of our water. So, so far we don't have any hose pipe bans in this county.
No, that's good.
It's good. Down in Devon and Cornwall, they've had hose pipe bans for a couple of months now.
But they're near the sea. Why have they got hose pipe bans? Can't they just?
Well, it's because their water comes from reservoirs and they never filled up after last summer.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So we might well have hose pipe bans coming on. But in the meantime,
any excuse not to wash the car, eh?
That I have to say is one of the really good ideas about hose pipe ban. It validates my benign neglect of my car.
It's absolutely too right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. So what do we do about water? So the first thing is get more water for nothing, and we can get more water for nothing.
That's not from the utilities company, though, is it?
Exactly. So if we gather it from the sky, it's free.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
If you have water butts. If you have any way of capturing water which falls from the sky and using that into your garden, it is water for nothing. No one's charging you for it. No one's metering you for it. It is there for you.
Mind you, on Sunday, if I'd have had a water butt, with that rain we had Sunday, I might have filled at least half of that up.
Yep, and that's why you can fill them up. So don't worry about using up. If you do have water butts, don't worry about using them up and thinking, oh, I need to kind of save it. If you are choosing to water well, because just a couple of big downpours and they will fill
they
right
sort of
back
replenish
up again.
Themselves, don't they? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm buttoning. Go on, you carry on. Go on.
Nice pun. So if you don't have the space or having a water butt isn't available for you, the other thing you can do is reuse water that you use in your home. So for example, before I get in the shower, if I'm waiting for the shower to warm up, I will probably pop a bucket in the bottom of the shower.
All right.
And that captures the water which is cold. I don't want to get in a cold shower because I'm a bit of a wuss. And that might be a litre or two of water that I will be able to then put on plants if I need to.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
it's what someone's charging you for the water. The water,
so you may as well use it somewhere, aren't you, rather than just wasting it away.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. Now, some people use washing up liquid water and all sorts of things. Generally speaking, if it's got a bit of a product in it, it doesn't really matter too much. But what you need to watch out is if you've got water softeners in, because a lot of the water around here is quite hard, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got a water softener.
Yeah. So if you do that, sometimes some of the salts can interfere with growth. So you have to be a little bit more careful using that.
All right, but, okay.
The first tip, capture the water from the sky because it's free.
Yeah.
Two, capture the water you use in your house because you've already paid for it. So if there's, you can give it a second life for your plants, you might as well. So those are the two things on how do we get water. And then obviously we've got, you know, turning on the tap and putting on a hose pipe or putting on a sprinkler or using watering cans and things like that.
What uses more water, hose pipe or watering can?
A hose pipe, really, wouldn't it? Because it's continually running,
yeah.
Yeah, indeed. So that's the other thing about how to water, because it's very tempting to turn the hose pipe on, put it on a quite a fine spray thing and spray the garden and think, brilliant, I've watered the garden.
But quite
often what we want to do is make the best use of our money, because again, it's our money, this water. And so what we tend to suggest you do is you don't put it on a very fine spray. You put it on a relatively forceful spray, but you put it at the base of the plants, because what you where you want the water to go to is the root ball, so the base of the plants. There's no good spraying everything with a very fine amount of water, because it will just evaporate and go back into the sky, and it won't do your plants any good. So getting the hose pipe or your watering can, and you know, sometimes you have that funny screw on the top of the watering can to make it go like a rose.
Mm-hmm.
Take that off. You don't want to use that. You just want to use the watering can,
the spout nozzle.
Yeah, like a teapot.
Yeah.
And you just want to be pouring it at the base of the plants that you want to water, rather than try and cover everything. And the same goes for grass. At the moment, if you are thinking about saving water, which we all should be doing, I wouldn't be thinking that there's any worth in sprinkling and having sprinkler systems on water on your grass. It will grow and it will come back when the rains come.
Right.
And we know, we've seen that, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. You
know, you turn biscuit and you think, that's it, that's them, they're dead. And I need to invest in becoming a seed grass.
and then a bit of rain and it sort of revitalizes itself, doesn't it?
Exactly. So there's no point trying to waste your money, literally your money, on keeping the grass alive. So choose what it is that you're protecting. So that's my next top tip, which is, so water the root ball is top tip one. And the next one is choose what plants you're going to water. Because if we do have a hose pipe ban, you are not going to want to be spending hours of your time going around individually each little plant with a watering can, watering everything. It's just not practical.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of plants survive fine in a drought. And they will come on to talk about what type of plants those might be in a bit. But
what?
The ones you...
Go on, sorry.
I was going to say, the ones you want to look after and prioritise are newly planted trees. So we say the most dangerous time of life in a new tree is the first 2 years of life. Because they've got such a big volume that they need to get water for. You really need to water and look after any newly planted trees and any recently planted or very small seedlings. So those are the ones, if you're having to water, those are the ones to prioritise, other than, you know, general shrubs, perennials you've had in ages. Never bother about watering a bulb. You just let those things get on with themselves.
Yeah. So is there a better time in the day to water? Because I was always told never to water the garden in the height of the day when it's hot and sunny, because you'll just burn the leaves and stuff. Is that right? Or
that's absolutely right. We don't recommend watering the heat of the day, but not necessarily for the heat scorch. So some plants can get a bit of the that, but it's just that if you think about it, the hotter the temperature, the quicker the evaporation of the water you're putting on or near your plants will be.
Oh, okay.
The less will come into the plants. So we say, do first thing in the morning or last thing at night.
I might have to have a word with my mum then, because she told me something different.
Yeah. So particularly when it gets really hot, and actually from a health and safety point of view, you know, once the temperatures get really hot like they did last summer, it's quite dangerous to be out in a garden in the midday. You know, it's really can get very, very oppressively hot really quickly.
Yeah.
So do it first thing in the morning or last thing at night. If you have pots can dry out really quickly, plants in plastic or in metal containers. And for those, if they're very, very dry, if you put water in the top, you might find the water just runs straight through the pot and actually doesn't soak up into the soil if it's got really, really dry. So for those, what we suggest is you put a pot or a kind of container underneath it and you water from below, and then the water will be taken up.
So it sits in water rather than it being...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then once you've kind of got over that very initial dryness, you can go back to watering as normal. But if you've got a plant, you think, eek, I think that's had it. I think it's just completely gone and gone too crispy. Don't try and water from the top because the water will just run through.
Okay.
Give it a nourishing water bath from the bottom.
Okay.
Think like you're putting it in the bath for a bit of love.
Okay, right. And what... So we've done... But what else can we talk about? Watering. We've done... we've done watering. We're going to talk about heat.
Yeah, we can talk about heat as well. But kind of just finishing on the watering theme, mm-hmm. that if you do have lots of pot plants and it is really hot and it's really dry, if you are watering them, it's a really good idea to put them all somewhere together in your garden.
So you're only watering in one place as opposed to going all over the place. Is that the reason?
Absolutely. Yeah, so it saves you time, it saves you energy going everywhere.
Yeah.
But it also means that you're creating a microclimate there.
Oh, I like that word.
Lovely little microclimate of a bit of higher water density. And it means the evaporation loss is going to be less because you're creating a kind of a cooler, damper area where all those pot plants are going to survive and thrive a bit better.
And I suppose that the other thing for that is if you've got a bit of shade in your garden and you can move it to a bit of shade.
Absolutely.
When you water it, would that help?
Dave, you're looking at my notes again. Absolutely. If it gets really, really hot, sometimes putting all your pot plants in shade just for a couple of days, that, you know, particularly if it's really, really hot and we know that we're not going to have people coming around to visit us and show off our, you know, whatever our plants are, a side alley or anywhere shady, just grouping all the plants together is a really good idea. And if you can't move them because they're too big, sometimes I even put a parasol over them to protect them from the heat of the day.
Oh yeah, in the middle
of the day. Or you can put them under a table.
I was going to say, you could put them under your table if that's got an umbrella in the middle, couldn't you?
Exactly.
You could just put them under
there. The only thing to do is to remember not to kick the plants over. If you're sitting having a nice evening, sitting a drink, don't kick over your roses because they'll bite back. But it's just like any other form of looking after water. The hotter it is and the drier it is, the more likely the water will get away from your plants. So you're kind of trying to think about keeping them cool, keeping them damp, keeping them together, and just watering where you really need to, just in that kind of that core root base of the plant, rather than trying to keep every single drop of your garden wet because you'll drive yourself bonkers and
water bill
as well.
Definitely. Especially if you're on a water meter, which I think most of us are now, aren't we?
Do you know what? I think that's right. I mean, I'm sure there must be some people who aren't, or there might be some people in houses of multiple application which operate differently.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we all pay for our water. We're very aware of, I think, the water companies and what they're doing and what they're not doing. And it can feel like, well, are they doing their bit? You know, there's all, we hear a lot about leakages and we hear a lot about spills. But even if whatever we think about the water companies, if we don't do our bit, the only things which will suffer are us and the planet even more. So we might as well do what we can.
Sorry, I was coughing then. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So we've talked a bit about how do we get the water,
mm-hmm.
and then how do we use the water. Mm. And then I thought I would give you a kind of a quick rundown about the plants which do well in the heat and the dry.
Yeah.
Because with our changing climate, we are seeing wetter winters, but drier and hotter summers. So this means that our plant choice is starting to change, and we should start to think about what are the kind of plants that are going to do well.
Right.
And a lot of this really depends on your soil type and, you know, if your garden is shady or sunny or things like that. So this isn't a kind of a list of every single plant which will do brilliantly everywhere. But I thought I'd describe the kind of plants which are likely to do well. And the types of plants we're talking about are ones which have silver or light coloured leaves, because again, from the science point of view, that reflects the light and the heat away from them.
Yeah.
So you think about things like lavender or lamb's ears. They have very light coloured leaves, so they don't absorb a lot of the heat.
Right.
And things which have very fine leaves. So again, think about your rosemary bushes. They've got those tiny little, almost like needles or conifers. They don't have a lot of water loss because the surface area of their leaf is very small compared to things with very large leaves, which you might find, you know, by the side of a river. You might find much bigger, like ornamental rhubarbs, for example, massive, huge leaves, size of me, some of them.
Really?
They get really big, really huge. But those leaves take up a huge amount of water, so you're not going to find those thriving in places which are really hot and dry. So what we're looking for in plants which do well in hot, dry summers are small, fine silver leaves. So anything which is light, anything which has small leaves on it, like lavender is an absolute classic example, or lamb's ears, or things like artemisia, and obviously a lot of the grasses as well do well in those circumstances.
So is that the same for like palm trees then? Because they've got some big old leaves, haven't they?
They do have big old leaves, but they have a couple of really interesting adaptations. So palm leaves, as you can see, they are quite, some of them are quite thin and long. So again, that's reducing the water loss because they're not really big and wide. The big wide leaves we tend to see from temperate rainforests. And they have those big wide leaves because they're capturing the rain, which is dripping down from the upper canopy. So
I've learned something new today then.
Yeah. So every single leaf tells you something about where that plant came from in the world. Did it come from a rainforest? Did it come from a really dry, arid environment? And the, you know, even the kind of the shape of the leaf at the end, if it's got like a teardrop, that will tell you, well, there might be a lot of water dripping off that. And that's used to, you know, it's almost like a gutter taking the water away from it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's, those are the type of plants that, that do well. And then we were going to talk briefly about heat if there's time as well. Do you think we've got time?
We have. If you can squeeze it in 2 minutes, we are great. Are you ready? One, two, three, go.
Okay. So we are, each plant has a temperature point at which, beyond which they just stop really growing and stop feeding heavily. And this is called summer dormancy. So each plant has a temperature point upon which their makeup, their biological makeup is such that they will just not really think about things like going into flower, going into fruit, growing, because the temperature range is just too hot. So if you see plants in the summer which look like they are just not doing anything, or even our grass just turning brown and not really feeding, not taking any water, it's gone into summer dormancy. Some plants,
do all plants do that?
A lot of them do. So a lot of plants. Yeah. So a lot of spring plants completely disappear by the summer.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, they're dived back to their roots and you won't even see them. So the key point is, don't panic. When the temperatures drop again, a lot of these plants will bounce back and will be fine. If you have a lot of really, really scrabby, browny, crispy growth on top, you can just chop it all back. And then when the temperature drops down and when the rains come, you will see the fresh green growth at the base of the plant. So don't despair if your plant goes into summer dormancy. They're just having a siesta.
Yeah, nice. So, yep. It's no different to, obviously, animals going into hibernation in the winter, isn't it? Because they do something similar, but obviously the opposite way around. But
it's exactly right. You're exactly right. And remember, you know, plants are like animals. They're, they adapt to their kind of their biological habitat of where they come from and what the kind of the temperature and the climate will be there. So yes, some things will die in a lot of extreme heat, but a lot of things, if you chop them back, give them a bit of water, look after them, you'll find they come back. But we can maybe touch about that if people have got questions or things that they've kind of lost last summer. Maybe we could pick up that in a follow-up episode.
Perfect. Absolute perfect. Now, you're going to be back, not next week, but the week after. But if you've only just joined us and you've missed this one, then obviously you can go into our website and click on the Garden Editor logo at the top there, and you can download the interview we've done today and the one previous. So if you've missed anything and you want to go back and listen again, then you're more than welcome to do that. Right now, as per usual, Claire, it's one of those, it's that time where you need to introduce a song, and you've picked one again for your feature today, haven't you?
I have indeed, and I have to say this is a personal favourite of mine. And I never knew who the actual artists were, because I just knew it is that song I really liked.
Yeah, so, I noticed that on the email.
So,
is it by some? Yeah, but yeah, okay. What one is it? Go on, tell us, because we are in that bit of a bit warm, isn't it?
It is. So the song I'd like to have today, please, Dave, is The Heat Is On from the Top Gun soundtrack by Glenn Frey and Kenny Loggins.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.